football players are practicing now. From the pros to college to high school, they start at the hottest time of year, many on sun-baked fields, wearing all kinds of equipment, and that can be dangerous. For member station WABE, Molly Samuel reports on how Georgia has taken steps to protect high school athletes and how the approach there has become a national model.
Put me in the end zone.
It's late summer, and the Cedar Grove Saints are doing drills on the field behind their suburban Atlanta high school. It's a sunny, humid morning in the low 80s already, but it feels hotter than that. This is a good team.
So in the last 6 years, we've won 4 state titles.
Head coach John Adams.
This past NFL draft, we put 4 guys in the NFL draft.
Any other high school in the country do that?
No, ma'am.
Coach Adams is excited about this upcoming season. He's also watchful about keeping his athletes safe as they work out in this Atlanta heat. That's something Adonijah Green appreciates. The 17-year-old defensive end says he's heard about past tragedies with heat killing athletes.
We're able to hydrate anytime with no restrictions on the water. Plenty of water.
And the players aren't wearing their pads yet. In late July, they start out training without the pads and no tackling.
With the pads, it gets hot, it gets heavy. It ties you down.
These aren't just policies at Cedar Grove. The Georgia High School Association mandates a 5-day period without pads as a ramp up.
We're seeing that that makes a big difference.
Bud Cooper studies athletes and heat illness at the University of Georgia, and he wrote the heat rules for the State High School Association. They got put in place a decade ago. That's when Georgia was one of the worst in the country for high school football player heat-related deaths.
Clearly, there was a problem.
But it wasn't just here. Research shows over 3 decades, starting in the 1980s, nearly 60 football players around the country died from heat-related illness. Most of them were in high school. But Georgia's turned the situation around. In addition to the mandatory ramp-up period, teams have to measure the wet bulb globe temperature, which factors in heat, humidity, and sun exposure. Depending on that reading, there are more breaks. If it's hot enough, there's no outside practice. After the heat rules went into effect, Cooper did another study to see if they worked. And they did. There have been fewer heat illnesses, and in programs that followed the rules, no heat-related deaths among high school athletes in Georgia.
It's exciting from my part. There is nothing that's more satisfying than for me to be able to sit here and say, I've done some things that have saved lives.
Cooper emphasizes the Georgia rules are based on scientific research.
I am so excited to talk about Georgia.
At the University of Connecticut, Becca Stearns is the chief operating officer at the Corey Stringer Institute, a program named after a Minnesota Vikings player who died from heat stroke. Stearns says Georgia's rules have had a big impact because other states have used them as a model for their own rules. She says having more states adopt heat rules is urgent as climate change drives up temperatures and humidity.
It's certainly a very relevant conversation in terms of maybe trying to act now before it becomes even more intense. And we're seeing an uptick in the cases of heat illness.
And experts underscore death from heat stroke is preventable, but teams have to be prepared.
Hey, let's go.
Cedar Grove's coach Adam says he checks in with his players and gives them longer than required breaks on hot days.
They're kids. So, you know, sometimes kids are just going to try to toughen it out, but you got to be smart.
Life, he says, is more important than football. For NPR News, I'm Molly Samuel in Atlanta.